Well, welcome everyone to morning prayer on the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also
O
with you.
Lord, O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth
And
shall
so
proclaim
proclaim
your
your
praise.
praise.
God, our Father in heaven, we come before you today with hearts and minds open to receive your wisdom. We hope to find comfort in familiar ritual. Yes, but also be challenged. Today we may hear familiar words and stories that soothe our souls. But you, O Lord, will stir in us new understandings to refresh and renew our faith. Humbly we bow before you, O God, who frees us from the shackles that we may not realize are ensnaring us, to be the people you mean us to be. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, creator of the universe, whose mind is freer than we can ever hope to be, a mind that is in all things and flows through all things, children, servants, never slaves, we bow down before you. Amen.
Amen.
The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And a prayer of confession. Heavenly Father, we confess that we stumble from day to day, failing to consider our lives in the light of our faith. Lord, we measure ourselves by the standards of society, afraid what others might think, not you. We become enslaved by worldly influences, filling our minds with ideas that do not feed the soul and our lives with things that bring only fleeting pleasure. We commit to the ways taught us by Jesus. Help us to count the cost of following him. Father, forgive us our
Our
failings
failings,
and help
help
us to
us to
stop
stop and
and think.
think.
Amen. Heavenly Father, when we stray from you in mind or deed, you bring us back gently. When we rush headlong in the wrong direction, yours are the hands holding us back from destruction. Forgiveness is in your breath and being, giving us pause for thought at such wondrous love. Amen.
Amen. The first reading is from Philemon, starting at chapter 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Phia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, sorry, that I appeal to you on my son, Onesimus. who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would like to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do not wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this week is Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Luke, starting at chapter 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in a house of the prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There, in front of him, was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in law, "Is it lawful to heal on a Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on a Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And then they had said no, they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who has invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him, heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.' Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundations and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish it." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while their others are still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be
Thanks,
to
Lord. Thank you, Liz. Very long reading today. The cost of following Jesus can come in many forms. In the UK, we have freedom to worship God in safety. Yet for others around the world, worshipping God means risking their lives. Last Sunday, the Reverend Ron Cross came to Rackenford and gave a talk about the charity Open Doors, a charity that supports the persecuted church. The stories were truly horrific of the consequences of following Jesus. Death for simply carrying a Bible. Although we have freedom of worship, following Jesus in our society still has a cost. It may be a financial cost, as we give sacrificially to support the church, its mission, and charities. There is also the cost involved in how we live our lives, the daily decisions that we make, to ensure that our thinking aligns with what Jesus would want from us. Following Jesus means that we might take decisions that make us stand out from the crowd. For example, we are called to treat everyone the same, to be loving and kind, forgiving and generous, not just to our friends and colleagues, but to everyone we meet. Today's reading, Philemon, is Paul's shortest, most personal letter. It is addressed to Philemon, a slave-owning Christian whose slave, Onesimus, ran away, possibly as a result of some offence, and has found his way to Paul, who is in prison. Onesimus has also now become a Christian and is close to Paul, who describes him as my child. Paul would like to continue their companionship, but has decided to send him back to his owner. Philemon had a decision to make about his runaway slave, Onesimus, who has become a Christian and a valued helper of Paul. Paul asks Philemon to receive Onesimus back as a brother in Christ. What should Philemon do? He has every right within the laws governing slave ownership to toss the letter away and send Onesimus back to work. Yet Paul reminds him that he was the one who led him to Jesus. The implication seems to be that therefore Philemon should do as Paul asks. A simple decision, you might think. But Philemon has great authority in the area as a well-known and respected landowner who opens his house for people to come and worship God. If he accepts Onesimus back as a brother in a time where slavery was normal, what would his neighbors and friends think? They might think he was weak, incapable, or soft. He could lose status in his community. There is another potential risk that Philemon's other slaves might decide to convert to Christ in order to gain their freedom. So perhaps it isn't a simple decision at all. We can only guess that, as the letter still exists, Philemon did indeed accept Onesimus back as a brother. We are left wondering what the repercussions were for him. In a job interview, candidates might be asked, "Do you have what it takes?" or "Are you hungry for this?" They must ask themselves, "Is this really where I want to spend my working life?" Other life choices require careful consideration. For example, "Is this the person I want to spend my life with?" Jesus insists that the choice of discipleship must be considered equally seriously. Are people counting the cost of an exclusive whole life commitment, or are they treating this as a short-term option to be left behind if it becomes too demanding? But no one can be a half-hearted disciple. Following Jesus is all or nothing. The gospel reading also discusses the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. Following Jesus requires full commitment, even to the point of prioritizing him above one's own family. Although the phrase hate is used, it is more likely that Jesus meant not to prefer them. The passage uses metaphors of building a tower and a king going to war to illustrate the importance of considering the cost before committing to being a disciple of Jesus. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer spells out what it means to follow Jesus. Famously, Bonhoeffer felt compelled by his commitment to Christ to act against the Nazi regime in an assassination plot against Hitler that failed and was discovered. Bonhoeffer was executed. He had considered the cost, but still did what he believed to be right. Would we do the same? When have you interceded on behalf of someone else? Paul was in prison, but out of love, he intercedes on behalf of Onesimus. Where you see injustice, do you find ways of acting in love? For example, by writing to your MP, collecting for a food bank, or raising money for charity. Stepping out in this way means risking standing out from the crowd. If Philemon did not take Onesimus back, if he freed him from slavery, this would have had lasting effects on his status in the community. How does the cost of following Jesus affect us in our daily lives? Following Jesus is a journey of trying to live more and more as he would want. Yes, we're not perfect, and we will get it wrong, but we are forgiven and we keep trying. We might make decisions that make us stand out from the crowd. We might risk losing our status with family, friends, and colleagues. We might be laughed at or mocked. Are we prepared for the cost of following Jesus? Amen.
Now the intercessions. Excuse me. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost. Lord God, we come before you today with full hearts as we think about the privilege it is to serve you, whatever the cost. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that we are doing your will. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, 1491 to 1556. We pray for the church worldwide, for those who lead and those who follow. Fill us all with your Holy Spirit and your compassion. Lord, we pray for people whom the cost of being a disciple is high, for those who have no choice but to carry their own cross of hardship, for those who have a choice and still follow whatever you the cost. Follow you, whatever the cost. For people who give their all for Jesus, prioritizing him and above family and possessions. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost. We pray for all the countries at war. Through modern technology, we can get frighteningly close to what is happening in these areas, but we still do not really know what it feels like to be amongst it all. We pray that you would plant peace in the hearts of those who seek only to destroy. Meet the needs of all who suffer. We pray for those who work in war-torn countries and areas of natural disaster, for people there who have literally nothing. Especially today, we pray for the victims of the earthquake in Afghanistan. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve and to give and not count the cost. We pray for people who are not treated as equals, for refugees, asylum seekers, for those who have fled their beloved homeland to seek the safety and security, but may find nothing but hostility. Help us to remember that we are all children of the same living God. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost. Lord, this week we celebrate International Literacy Day. We pray for organizations that promote literacy in underdeveloped countries. And among women, for organizations like Wycliffe Bible Translators, who make the Bible readily available in so many languages. For Christian writers, thanking you that the pen is mightier than the sword. We pray for teachers and volunteers who put their all into enabling their students to read and write. Especially as the new school year is starting, we pray for a spirit of excited and fulfilling learning in the classrooms. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost. On this, Onesimus ran away from his troubles. Paul thanked God for Philemon as he remembered him in his prayers. We pray that we would never be afraid to use the written word to plead for others. Help us always to work together with our fellows to promote your gospel in whatever way we can, wherever we can, to stand firm and be partners in the faith, to always put you first. We pray for the people in our lives who stand firm in the faith for us. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve and to give and not count the cost. We give thanks and remember in our prayers the church, our church family gathered here today. We pray for those who cannot be with us, for those who minister to us in so many ways and not often seen. For the sick, we remember Steph, Jacques, Rosemary, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Andrew, Paul, Colin, Stephen, Brian, Gerald, Ian, Sue, Cynthia, John, Tom, Margaret, Harvey, Harry, Susie, Elizabeth, and Chris, and all those at Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And we also pray for the bereaved and the friends and their friends and family, Jean Cole and Ruth Govia. Bring them to your healing and comfort. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost. Amen.
And now the collect for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. God of constant mercy, who sent your Son to save us, remind us of your goodness, increase your grace within us, that our thankfulness may grow through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we join together as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your name,
Your kingdom
your kingdom
come,
come,
your
your
will be
will be
done,
done
on
on
earth
earth
as
as
in
in
heaven.
heaven.
Give us today
Give
our
us our
daily
daily
bread.
bread.
Forgive us our
us
sins, as
as
we
we
forgive
forgive
those
those
who
who
sin
sin
against
against
us.
us.
Lead
Lead us
us not into
not into
temptation,
temptation,
but
but
deliver us
deliver
from
from
evil.
evil.
For
For
the
the
kingdom,
kingdom,
the
the
power,
power,
and the
and the
glory
good
are
are
yours,
yours,
now
now
and
and
forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and those whom we love and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering of hearts and minds. As we depart from this space, help us to carry your love in our hearts and to speak kindness into all situations. In your loving name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.